Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Program. A creeped out Brad Friedman sitting in for Mike Malloy. Man, I don't know if you heard that hour beforehand that we just did with Ray McGovern, 27-year CIA analyst, who said that essentially Barack Obama has reason to be concerned about the CIA and what may come of him. That was kind of creepy. If you missed it, we'll have the podcast up later on at MikeMalloy.com. I'll post it over at BradBlog.com as well. And if you're not yet creeped out enough, coming up, well, we got two creepy hours straight ahead for you. Ernest Hancock, the libertarian who brought a gun to a Barack Obama healthcare event out in Phoenix, Arizona. And if that ain't creepy enough, Sybil Edmonds, the former FBI translator turned whistleblower, gagged for years under the state secrets privilege by the Bush administration, speaks out on the record under oath in public for the first time. We're going to play extended excerpts from her stunning deposition in which she names names of Congress members you will know, you will know and love, or not love, still serving, who she alleges were bribed, blackmailed by the by agents of the Turkish government. And she attests to this that she heard as a translator listening to wiretaps. She was hired after 9/11 at the FBI. Never before heard on the air. We're going to play extended excerpts next hour. So Ernest is coming up shortly, but just because I'm so creeped out, let's lighten things up a little bit, if you can call it that. Hey, Dez.
Hey, how's it going?
Desi Doyen joins us, my producer and my co-host on the Green News Report, heard on your favorite radio stations around the country. And if it's not heard on the station you're listening to now, call them and demand it. It's free. It's only 6 minutes. They can drop us a note at greennews@bradblog.com, and we'll add them to the affiliates list. We'd love to have them. Des, I was just up on the roof for some reason, looking out over the hills. Fires still burning, I guess backfires from the from these fires out here in L.A. County?
Yeah, that's what we understand. It's the station fire. Again, it's the largest fire in L.A. County history and one of the largest in California state history. And it's still burning out there. They don't expect to have full containment until next week, probably the middle of next week. And they've been, you know, lighting backfires. They've been able to protect a lot of the residences and buildings because it's, you know, it's creeping into an area that was the Angeles National Forest, a rural area, wilderness, but it's been
that it's not
spreading out.
It's not threatening homes anymore.
All right. So.
Our Green News Report, this was today's report, recorded just a few hours ago, and we'll play it. We'll come back another minute or two to talk about it, and then we'll bring on Ernest Hancock. Tony, light it up. It's Thursday, September 10, 2009.
World's largest solar farm coming.
Great.
To China.
Oh.
Air pollution, bad for you.
You don't say.
Plus, oil, toil, and trouble.
Very tantalizing. All of that and more straight ahead. Prepare for 6 minutes of green news and commentary. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this is your Green News Report. Trouble. All right, what do you have for us today, Dev?
Well, a U.S. solar panel manufacturer just signed a deal to build the world's largest solar farm ever in China.
No.
Arizona-based First Solar, the world's largest solar panel manufacturer, this week announced a tentative deal to build the massive solar project in the vast deserts of northern China as part of that nation's aggressive plans for rapid deployment of renewable energy.
We don't have any deserts here. Is that the problem? No deserts in the U.S.
We'll get to that. The details of the memorandum of understanding are yet to be worked out, but the broad agreement calls for First Solar to complete a 25-square-mile project in the Inner Mongolian Desert in phases over the next 10 years, partly subsidized by the Chinese government, with the first 30 megawatts to go online next June. In an interview with the Associated Press, First Solar CEO said the U.S. has plenty of land to launch a similarly massive solar farm, but lack of high-capacity transmission lines combined with competing land interests and state-level bureaucracy makes such a project unlikely anytime soon.
So let me find the glass half full here. At least this is a U.S. manufacturer. There will be jobs, there'll be work, green jobs, and so forth. even if we're not building it here.
They're going to have actually their manufacturing plant in China. No.
The manufacturing plant is in China.
Yes.
So there is no full, not even a half full glass here.
It's great for First Solar, not so great for jobs in the United States.
Great.
Scientists at the University of Michigan have established for the first time a direct link between air pollution and high blood pressure. Although researchers for years had previously linked air pollution with a higher risk of heart disease and stroke, the study for the first time establishes just how that damage occurs. The main factor in increasing blood pressure appears to be from fine particulates, commonly known as soot, in the air from burning fossil fuels, which affects us in two ways. First, the fine particles affect the central nervous system, creating a fight-or-flight response, and then the fine particulates lodge deep in the lungs where they cause inflammation, which over time thickens blood vessels, which is a factor in heart attacks and strokes. The researchers stress that for mostly healthy people, exposure to that air pollution is not dangerous, and they did use levels at the EPA threshold for dangerous air pollution.
Am I insensitive if I suggest a study tying the Green News Report together with high blood pressure? Would that be? All right, keep going.
Oil giant BP formerly stood for British Petroleum, but now stands for Beyond Petroleum.
How about blood pressure? Does it stand for blood pressure?
Well, they've doubled down on the petroleum part. They've announced the discovery of what is, they're calling, a giant oil field deep in the Gulf of Mexico, 250 miles southeast of Houston in U.S.-controlled waters. The field is located under 35,000 feet of water. That's deeper than Mount Everest is tall, and deep below the ocean floor, so it would be one of the deepest wells ever drilled.
Now, this is a huge discovery and actually good news, right, that we found all of this oil?
It's good news for BP. Now, the discovery is unlikely to have any immediate effects on oil prices due to the fact that it will take at least 3 years to begin pumping any oil before BP can determine how much of the oil is economically recovered. Now, according to the New York Times, oil analysts say the price of oil per barrel would need to be about $70 to make that whole effort worthwhile. Now, the price of oil jumped to $72 today after OPEC decided to maintain production levels. And it's out in a hurricane-prone region, platforms that were evacuated during Hurricanes Ike and Gustav over the last 2 years. On the other side of the world, Australia is contending with the flip side of deepwater oil rigs, a massive oil spill off the northwest coast in the Timor Sea, threatening one of the most prolific marine wildlife regions in the world. Located 150 miles off the northwest coast of Australia, a new deepwater oil well popped a drilling cap and has been spilling crude oil since August 21st.
It popped a cap?
Yes, it did. An oil slick 8 miles long has triggered Australia's National Oil Spill Emergency Response System, and government officials have promised a full investigation into the incident. Experts say the well will likely continue spilling for months to come as the oil company attempts to figure out how to cap the wellhead, conduct repairs, and begin the cleanup process. But luckily, the risk of fire is not so much of an issue anymore. Summer may be over, but the astroturfing continues. We've been reporting on all the fake grassroots organizations popping up all over that, upon closer inspection, turn out to be really secretly backed by corporations to advance corporate interests. From the forged advocacy letters sent to members of Congress from the Clean Coal Coalition to the fake grassroots energy citizens rallies and rowdy town halls that were organized and paid for by oil companies that bust in their employees. But the fun's not over yet. Grist.org is reporting on a new nonprofit organization with the creative name PlantsNeedCO2.org, whose mission is to, quote, help prevent the inadvertent negative impact to human, plant, and animal life if we reduce CO2. But no one could have predicted that this 501c3 nonprofit's website is registered to a for-profit oil services company and whose spokesperson is a director of the American Petroleum Institute.
Who'd have thunk it? Good Lord. Read about that and much more at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Done,
thank
Desiree.
You. I hope it's okay.
Yeah, it was excellent. I'm still ticked off, though, I got to say. Why the hell can't we have the largest wind farm in the world here in the U.S.?
Well,
we drive around here, we got nothing but desert out here in the West. What the hell's going on?
Well, obviously, there is a different regulatory scheme at work. And also, you know, the Chinese government, they tell their people what they're going to do. They don't hold back on regulations. They don't have environmental regulations. They don't do environmental reviews. They do try. They are trying to launch a new green movement in China. They're trying to do to be better as far as their environmental responsibility.
Yes, but we have an energy crisis here.
Yes, we do. You know, one of the things that we have is we have a network network of regulatory agencies, government agencies. We got a lot of different people with land interests, not just federal lands, but private lands and state bureaucracies, because most of this, according at least to the first solar CEO, most of the level of the bureaucracy is at the state level. Our energy policy, he says, is really, truly, honestly decided at the state level, and we don't have a federal top-down plan like China does.
Desi, we've got state forests out there in the middle of the desert. We've got, you know, national forests. We've got these military bases out in, you know, Nevada where they could put up these solar farms. There's no excuse for this.
Well, one of the things that China has done is they have established a dedicated renewable energy development zone in just one state. Basically, it's a northern state that is completely uninhabited. It's all desert. So they've decided that they're going to make that their place, and they're going to let that place, I guess, not have issues with environmental
issues. Why don't we
issues?
Make it our place? I don't see the environmental problems of putting some mirrors out in the goddamn desert.
I don't think that people are calling for it.
I'm calling for it. Bring them on. Desi Doyen, nice job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get out there and answer the phones. And we're going to be back with Ernest Hancock right after this. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Coming up in the next hour, the unaired, unheard deposition tapes of Sybel Edmonds, former FBI translator, never before heard on the broadcast airwaves because our media doesn't give a damn. Of course, when you hear what she has to say, you will ask yourself, why the hell does our media not care? Why is this not being reported? I know I have been asking that question for the last month. Anyway, hey, folks over at DU, get out there and let folks know this is coming up. Sybel Edmonds going to be on the air the entire hour. Extended clips from her under oath deposition. All right. My next guest here, and you give us a call, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150, or you can stop by the bradblog.com chat room and say hello. It's a rockin' and rollin' conversation going on there. All right, Ernest Hancock joins us now. He is a libertarian activist, a publisher of freedomsphoenix.com. Host of his own radio show on the, which network? Ernie, which network is that on, the radio show?
Republic Broadcasting Network.
Republic Broadcasting Network. He also ran for Secretary of State in Arizona, as I recall, back in 2006.
And 94.
And in 94. He also designed the Ron Paul Revolution logo, Re-Lovolution logo.
So, Revolution.
There you go. And most famously of late, he brought a handgun to a Barack Obama healthcare meeting out there in Phoenix. We've only got a few minutes before the bottom of the hour. We'll have more time after this, so I'll just ask you directly. First, welcome to the show, Ernie.
And thank you.
And where are you?
I'm in Phoenix at home.
What, you got a train coming through your apartment?
Oh, man, I'm sorry, you hearing that?
Yeah.
I got under my desk for my 25th wedding anniversary. My wife got me a foot massager.
Well, turn off your foot massager, Ernie.
I'm sorry, the air.
I didn't know
you could hear it.
Jeez, what the hell? All right, Ernie.
I want to tell you, Brad, I am so I'm so glad to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, you're such a good guy to have out there. We put a lot of your stuff up on Freedom's Phoenix.
Well, don't be buttering me up, Hancock, because I'm going to...
Before you make me mad, man.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I should say I've known Ernest for a while, and you do, in fact, link over quite frequently to bradblog.com. We've had a lot in common. You've been a hell of a good fighter against election fraud out there in Arizona. So we'll have more time after the break. I give you this very quick question for the moment, Ernie. You brought a gun to Barack Obama's town hall meeting. You were there with Chris B, I think. I don't know. Do we know his last name? You know his last name. Is that public?
I do now.
Okay.
But yeah.
He brought an assault rifle to this meeting. So I will ask you, what the hell were you thinking, Ernest?
Well, Well, my thing, you go to, I put up on freedomsphoenix.com a bunch of links and so on for your audience. They can go and just look so I don't have to go on, and they have all the information there. But what happened was when that gentleman Kostrick, William Kostrick, brought the firearm in New Hampshire, I started hearing the same rhetoric back from 13 years ago by the same people. Rahm Emanuel was senior advisor to Clinton during from 93 to 98. Janet Napolitano, now head of Homeland Security, was the prosecutor on a militia case here in Arizona that they just amped up into a whole bunch of falsehoods. We knew some of the people in there. One guy was a good friend of mine, and we knew it was a bunch of lies. And, in fact, that started coming out, but too late, and he did 5.5 years. When Kostrick brought the gun, they were saying the same thing because he happened to be from Scottsdale, Arizona. So the same rhetoric was coming up. The Thursday before Obama came on that Monday, I called the Phoenix Police Department. They
have hold the thought with the Phoenix Police Department, and I'll just say it was a different. It is the same people, but it's a different time, in my opinion.
We're gonna talk
about that after the break. Ernest Hancock, libertarian and gun-toting Arizona guy. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Mike and Kathy will return next week. Never fear. They'll be here on Monday. Until then, you got me. Deal with it. We're speaking with Ernest Hancock, who brought a gun to the recent late August town hall, healthcare town hall, where Barack Obama was speaking. He was there to interview a fellow by the name of Chris B, who brought an assault rifle to the Barack Obama healthcare event in Phoenix. And, of course, I've known Ernest, and I've known him, frankly, to be a good guy. He's fought right by my side for a long time on the fight for election integrity out there in Arizona and other constitutional issues. Took on the Bush administration, called them out for being as corrupt as they were. And now he's bringing guns to Barack Obama events. And I got to say, Ernie, what the hell are you thinking? You said you spoke with the Phoenix police before you went out there, and that's where I cut you off. So let's finish that story, and we'll get on to some other questions here. Uh-oh. There we go.
Knowing me, the first thing is you know that I probably had a reason.
Well, of course you did.
The reason was is that I went through this before. 13 years ago, they amped up during all the militia craze and the days of and stuff. And there was a lot of long story as to why I believe the administration and so on was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going after this one pastor that keeps sticking his foot in his mouth, and that's his problem.
That's not sticking his foot in his mouth, Ernest. He's out there saying that he hopes Barack Obama dies,
kills him. I understand. You can't, hate and be part of the revolution. Well, I'm with you, brother.
That's right. And you designed the Ron Paul Levolution logo, so let's just be clear.
The point is that you have a guy that has 36 parishioners, and they will make him the center of the universe. They will use him as a poster child for something.
No,
I understand. I'm with you, but I want you to understand the distraction that's being done here. When I called the Phoenix police, I had worked with these guys before when this happened last time, and they amped up all kinds of stuff like this, because you can always find the guy that wears the floppy camo hat with one tooth that, let's go get him kind of stuff. That's where the cameras always go.
All right, Ernie, this guy, this preacher who called for Obama to die, apparently Chris B. went to his church, Chris B. is someone who I don't know if he's a friend of yours or not, but you know him because you guys organized to do your radio show and interview him from the Obama event where he had an assault rifle and you had a handgun. Now,
Let me go ahead and tell you what happened. I'll walk you through it, man.
You got to do it quick because I want to get to a lot of stuff here. So,
okay, this is what's going on. I talked to the Phoenix Police Department. I said, man, we got to get together on it because I see this coming again. We went through this before over a decade ago. They're going to amp up charges. They're going to come to Arizona. They got the link with Kostrick from New Hampshire, having been from Scottsdale. And they go, yeah, you're right. We need to talk. They came came the next day. It was then when I talked to them that I even knew Obama was coming. I didn't even know he was coming. So I go, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to try and preempt all this stuff. We're going to, because there's other guys that are already going to be coming with firearms on the gun blogs that are coming and so on. I'm going to try and keep this peaceful. I will come with my sidearm, do my show live, and you'll be there to protect my rights to do so. Keep everybody calm. They go, cool, not a problem. Love it. Love to help you out. So then I get a call that weekend from Chris saying, hey, I want to bring my AR-15. And I'm like, I mean, I'm not going to tell him, no, it's legal, and he wants to do that, fine, you know, but you're on your own. So he came down, I interviewed him, and this is what happened. The thing was that was interesting was his message. His message, Chris's, was if you keep pushing my generation long enough and plundering us and taking away our future, sooner or later there will be resistance. This is the modern equivalent of pitchforks and torches.
Okay, let me jump in here. You have every right to bring that gun if you want. Because you have the right doesn't mean it is right. And if you think these times are the same as they were back in the 90s with Bill Clinton, when you've got an African-American president in there who already has a target
Nobody
on his head.
Nobody cares about that. You guys just keep making that like that's something. No, people want their freedom back. They don't care who's taking it or giving it to them.
All right,
they just want their freedom
Ernie,
back.
Ernie, do you believe Barack Obama wants to take your gun away?
You know, I don't care. He's so way down on the list.
Answer me that question. Do you believe Barack Obama wants to take your gun away?
I don't think he'd be very upset if it was taken from him.
Do you think Barack Obama wants to take your gun away?
I don't know. I haven't even checked.
Okay.
I haven't looked. Don't care.
Well, because the right-wing nutbags out there have been, you know, having runs on guns and ammo since Obama is in there. It seems to me that's the last damn thing Barack Obama is worried about. And here's where I'm going to call you out for not calling out this preacher who called for, to kill Barack Obama, to give him an excuse, as you did just a few minutes ago, saying, oh, he put his foot in his mouth. That's not his foot in his mouth. These right-wing teabaggers, Ernie, have co-opted your legitimate movement, the Ron Paul movement, that, you know, all of a sudden these people are concerned about the Constitution and about the deficit. You have been concerned about the deficit and the Constitution for years. So when you show up and you throw in with these right-wing nutball teabaggers, they are taking the Ron Paul revolution that you guys legitimately ran back when they treated you like freaks. And if you don't separate yourself from them and from these, you know, preachers calling for these for the death of Obama, you know, I think you're giving up a lot of the legitimate ground that you earned over the last 8 years.
Brad, you're playing right into their hands, man. It's just this bipolar back and forth thing. What makes you think that we have anything to do with them? You know, when we go, we take thousands of DVDs of various different things like America, Freedom, to Fascism, and so on. We spray that out for the entire crowd. The right, the Clear Channel guys, they were the most upset. One of the shows that you'll see I put up on the posting for your listeners is Clear Channel had me on their morning show angry with me because we distracted from their corner when they're yelling at the other the Obama guys that come in by the busload to be violent. They're there shipped in.
Well, that's right. And you need to, and these are why the times are different, Ernie. These are, you need to separate yourself. You say, oh, we weren't the same as them. Well, guess what? Hang on.
This Tea Party stuff was a libertarian thing that's been going back for decades, and then these Clear Channel Republican guys, they come in, and then they take it. We're like, fine, thanks for getting us a crowd of your guys so we can give them DVDs.
So why the hell? Listen, I'm sitting out here. I'm not in Phoenix. I'm watching the news. I'm watching Talking Points Memo. I'm watching CNN. Hang on, Ernie. There is no separation when this is reported to the media. You may think you're on a different side of the sidewalk from the nutball teabaggers, but it doesn't go out that way. It looks like you are one of them, and if you're not going to call them out for what they are, if you're not going to say to those jerks, hey, where the hell were you people for the last 8 years when we were out here saying, what about these deficits? What about, you know, George Bush on his tax cut spending twice as much as the health care would even cost? I know you're probably against both of them, but you spoke out.
And well, obviously, you're not not reading enough of Freedom's Phoenix. We do that every day.
I know you call do you call out these nutbags?
Absolutely.
And okay.
Constantly.
So
but
you have this
All right,
so you have this opportunity where you know the national media is going to be there, CNN is going to be there, and the way you use that opportunity to get your message out to the national media is to show up with a frickin' gun?
Absolutely,
Ernie?
For two reasons. One, Phoenix Police Department protect our rights, and we are not going to sit and let you guys do again as a distraction. It's all about money.
Who you guys who? Who are you talking about, you guys?
Oh, the administration, the left and right paradigm of the we rule the planet people.
Okay, I'm not the administration, so don't say you guys to me. Secondly,
no, I don't mean you.
All right, and secondly,
you know, my thing, Brad, we're on the same side on this. We just have different methods. And the thing that people are so concerned about, they're going, wow, they're bringing guns to these protests. I go, that already started. It's increasing. It was going to happen without me. I worked with the Phoenix Police Department to keep it peaceful so nobody got hurt. And I'm going, look, there is not going to be a repeat of what you guys did with the Viper Militia back in the late 90s. And I left that information for your listeners also.
Right.
They're going to do it again, and I wanted to prevent it. I already know it's not the same kind of people. It was the same people. They are always dividing us. They're always making it to where they don't want you and I to be friends.
You're playing Ernest, Ernie, you're playing into their hands. When you show up, there is no difference between you and the crazy
right-wingers. They're going to say what they always say. That's why we have Freedom's Phoenix.
You
That's
guys.
It's important to have Brad's blog. Don't let them decide what is and isn't the truth. I ignore them.
I don't. And we're speaking with Ernest Hancock, libertarian activist, publisher of freedomsphoenix.com. You can give us a call, 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. I'm saying, Ernest, that you have legitimate concerns about your constitutional rights, okay? You're not a pretender in my mind. These other guys, they are pretenders. They are AstroTurf, but they're...
Besides AstroTurf, this is, you have, you know, the unions and money for the big guys, they use their power. You have the direct feed they have to the big business on the right side, and at the end of this thing, this is the rhetoric that I'm making sure is getting out. At the end of this healthcare debate, I guarantee you there will be a new bucket of money. It'll have Republicans saying, oh, we got a good compromise, and it's our bucket of money, and Democrats, well, we got our bucket of money. But in the end, I guarantee there's going to be a new line on your paycheck. It's going to be Mrs. Fika, and she likes to shop. Mm-hmm. It is all a bank robbery. This has nothing to do. They don't give a crap about your health. It's just another bucket of money.
Yeah, but you see, you're allowing yourself to be put in and to be ignored and to be marginalized like the...
It's not about me, Brad. I don't care about me.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the things that you believe in. And this is what they did to you in 2008, to the Ron Paul...
They always do it. They're always going to do it. How many minds can we free? How many people can we expose to the information? How much can we damage their credibility? That's what we do. That's what I'm doing on your show right now. That's why I love coming on here. I was on Air America for 15 years here. You know, the libertarian message has been exposed to the left here in Phoenix. You know that. These people understand they've been lied to. We have such a coalition at Freedom's Phoenix. We have a 3,600 square foot workshop, video studio, radio studio, sign production, T-shirt, printing. We are rocking and rolling. And right now for 9/11, I have the anti-war movement, the left, the right, all the people down there, the revolution. They are all working together because we know what the real problem is.
It may be a tyrannical government, but I think you've allowed yourself to be co-opted by nuts. When they come out and they say
How'd they co-opt me, Brad?
Because when they come out and they say this is a tyrannical government, we know they're lying because they didn't give a damn when it became a tyrannical government like never before over these past 8 years. So you will be as easily ignored as them, and that's a shame because those of us who believe in the Constitution, who believe in standing up for rights, could use folks like you and folks like the Ron Paul people who were marginalized by the same folks that you're sharing a sidewalk with holding a gun. Hold that thought, Ernest. We will come back. I'll let you respond. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy program talking to my friend, Ernest Hancock of freedomsphoenix.com. We'll be back right after this. Don't let me down. You're listening to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Malloy, speaking with Ernie Hancock, the libertarian activist, publisher of freedomsphoenix.com. He hosts his own radio show on the Republic Network. He ran for Secretary of State in 06 and 94. 94, right?
This thing's been screwed up for a long time.
Well, and he's been raising hell over the past couple of years about concerns about Republicans and Democrats alike, big on the election integrity movement, fighting for paper ballots out there in Arizona. He designed the Ron Paul Revolution logo. I find Ernie to be a good guy. And it's mystifying to me that he thinks it's a smart idea to bring a gun to a Barack Obama healthcare event out there in Phoenix, as he did a couple of weeks ago.
Listen, Brad, I want to ask you this real quick.
Okay.
What made it a healthcare event? That was the one thing the Republicans kept hammering on me about. They're going, well, you changed the debate from the healthcare. It's supposed to be healthcare. And I'm going, why didn't you get that memo? I mean, who's talking to the VFW about military stuff? Who decided that this was a healthcare protest?
Fair enough. My mistake. I thought it was a healthcare town hall, but it wasn't. It was just a VFW town hall.
Fair enough. My mistake. Like, the left and the right, okay. They keep trying to couch it in that. They get the memo, and they say, oh, this is what it is. And I'm going, well, who said that?
Okay.
I don't know this is it. You're falling into it.
You're right. I stand corrected. Now, why do you think that of all the things that you can demonstrate about that you need to demonstrate about, it's the gun thing, or is that the way you get national attention? You probably wouldn't be on the Mike Malloy show right now, I suspect, had you not brought a gun.
Oh, if I wanted to, I'd think of something.
You'd come up with something.
The thing is that it wasn't about the guns. It was about preventing this next administration from doing the exact same thing that they did 13 years ago and they're doing now with the same people same rhetoric.
And you think the best way to get attention to that is to bring assault rifles to
Obama? Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I didn't care about that. But, absolutely. I did this intentionally with the cooperation of Phoenix Police Department because they had the same concerns I do. They went through this, too.
Okay. Now, we've got a couple of questions are coming in from the chat room. First, how do you feel, Ernie, about Bush taking guns away from folks in New Orleans during Katrina?
Atrocious. When they needed them the most.
And yet, where were all the...
We hammered on them big time on that.
Well, how about the teabaggers? Were they hammering on Bush for that?
No, they're part of the machine. They're the other side of the same coin. You go high enough on this pyramid, you'll find the same people control both sides. I saw it at the, this is a good one. Cindy Sheehan doesn't get enough props. I mean, she's been out there, definitely against this war. I was in Crawford, Texas, set with the fire ants for a week, covering her for the Air America affiliate here in Phoenix. And I'm telling you, I saw what MoveOn did. They wanted to make her, right when she's at the peak of her attention, they wanted her to agree that she would support a phased withdrawal, not this immediate just get out. And she wouldn't do it, and then the left and the Democrats, they just abandoned her, you're not one of us. And I sat there and watched it happen, and it is because the same thing, if you get high enough on this pyramid, it's the same people in charge, and the people haven't figured that out yet. If they think voting's going to make them free, they haven't been paying attention.
I don't disagree with really any of your points, I just disagree with your tactics. Give me in 30 seconds. Give me here, because we're running up against the clock. What freedoms do you feel that we've lost, and how have you, someone, Rastaman, in the chat room wants to know how you have personally suffered from the stimulus spending?
Okay, took my money to begin with. I just had my first grandchild. It's not her debt. You know, they're going to enslave this next generation to as much as they possibly can without limit, and they don't even get to have a say. So this is, you go to itsnotmydebt.com, you'll see the billboards we put up all around Phoenix. Itsnotmydebt.com is the next generation that don't get to say no. This is, that's where I'm putting my focus of my time. You know, fine, you're bad, you did, you whatever. You can't guarantee an entire stripping of the future of a whole other generation, and they don't even get to have a say.
I hear you, but
the anti-war movement.
And I gotta get out, Ernie. But I say,
where is it?
If you call out, what's that?
Anti-war movement. Where is it?
I agree. And if you call out the anti-war movement, great. But you got to call out these wingnuts at the same time, because they treated you guys, Ron Paul, like crap for the last 8 years.
Every day, Brad.
Thank you, brother. Ernest Hancock of FreedomsPhoenix.com. Thanks for joining us. Sybil Edmonds and her remarkable deposition. Never heard on air before. Coming up next.